Hello there, and welcome to episode 9 of the Car Wash Podcast. My name is Delmaine Flavor, and I'm your host. And of course, I'm never alone. On my right hand side, in all khaki today, looking like a father, Linda Figo Mtambo.
Not just khaki, but Theodora.
Theodora khaki. Shout out. And it seems like co-odds are the order of the day, because on my left hand side, I have Brighton, the bright star, Mshongo. And he's in full Adidas Orlando Pirates regalia.
Last season's one. I've been giving him the new ones.
when they come back from Spain.
Yeah, I missed that flight, guys.
No, you didn't have the passport.
No, but you're here with us, so it's fine.
There's no passport. What missed the flight? What, yeah. You can't fly there with an ID. It's not Craveja, my friend.
And then on my far left-hand side, someone who's clearly in the mood today.
Yo. Oh, I know he is.
Yo.
He's in the mood.
Yo.
Teko Dona Modise. It's good to see you guys. I think it's been a few weeks since we last shot, and everyone has been asking, where are you guys? What they don't know is that you guys have crazy schedules, man. Some of us are on TV doing daily shows.
All of us.
You included.
Yeah. No, we've got busy schedules. Yeah. However, we don't neglect the car wash. I think it's important for you guys to know that we are 9 episodes in. Can you believe it?
Crazy.
There's so much for us to speak about. There's so much for us to do. Obviously, the World Cup's just finished. By the time this comes out, it will be a few days before the Betway Premiership starts, and obviously the MTN 8 will then be the first competition. There's a lot for us to unpack, so I want to get into it. But before we do, I want to introduce our mystery guest. Now, our mystery guest segment is proudly sponsored by Courier It, our proud partners who have been with us now for the last few episodes, and we thank them for their contribution. So before we get into today's mystery guest, here's something to think about, gentlemen. Every parcel has a story. Could be a stock for a small business, could be a jersey heading to a football fan, it could be a gift for someone you haven't seen in a while. Because what you're sending is really just a parcel. It's a sale, surprise, a promise. And that's why Courier It exists, to help South Africans move what matters the most. Now, moving it from your door to anywhere nationwide and the option of 2,700 pickup points to choose from, sending has never been easier. And right now, Courier It is giving the car wash community an opportunity, and this is exciting, gents, to win a 5,000 Rand buyer gift experience voucher or one of 2 Bafana Bafana jerseys. Now, I don't know about you, but I could do with the green one. All you have to do to win, you're still waiting for yours. Nobody came, he came. So all you have to do to win is go to Courier It. .co.za/TCW, and that stands for the car wash. Get a 50 Rand credit towards your first delivery, and every parcel you send earns you another entry. Courier It, move it with Courier It, because your parcel deserves more. Now let's meet today's mystery guest. Let me serenade before he comes in. Now today's mystery guest, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the brightest football minds South Africa has produced. Believe it or not, he's just 31, and he has already built a reputation that has taken him across the continent, working at some of Africa's biggest football clubs. Now, from laying the foundations at AmaZulu Academy to helping build Orlando Pirates' high-performance analysis department, before moving on to the technical bench at Maritzburg United, his journey has been anything but ordinary. Alongside Coach Fadlu Davids, he has tested himself in Tanzania with Simba, and most recently at Morocco Giants, Raja Casablanca, one of the biggest and most demanding clubs on the African continent. Now he holds a UEFA A license, a UEFA Elite Youth A license, and is part of a new generation of South African coaches proving that our football brains can compete with the very best. With that being said, it's a mouthful.
Sure.
We want to welcome.
Hey, may I have a drum roll? Daddy and Wilkin, proudly beloved. By Courier It. His name is Coach Darian Wilkins.
Where is Mr. D?
How are you?
How are you?
All right.
Good to see you.
Look good, man.
Married life. All right, sir. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Aging like fine wine.
And manly.
Aging like fine wine. You good?
Good to see you, sir. Thank you.
Coach.
Mr. Host.
Good to see
how are you, sir?
I'm well, thanks. Please have a seat.
Thank you.
thank you so much for joining us, Coach.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity.
I think the stars aligned nicely. Thank you to Courier It for delivering an international parcel.
Yeah. I thought you would have come in a box.
I can fit in one at least.
No, thank you so much for joining us, Coach. There's a lot that we want to get through. And I'm going to jump right into it. The World Cup just finished. There were some surprises. I genuinely thought it was coming home with England, but it wasn't to be.
Come on.
What are you saying? Come on.
Come on. Don't waste that time.
But one thing that we did see was a big debate spring up between whether football or physicality, which is a direction football is heading in, ultimately wins. And you look at, let's say, the semi-final. I think that was the biggest indicator of it. On the one hand, you had France versus Spain. And on the other hand, gentlemen, you had England taking on Argentina. And the big debate was France, with that front five, I think, have so much aggression, athleticism. They don't really play football, but they attack the crap out of you. They press you. And then you have Spain with their traditional tiki-taka, where they keep the ball and they kind of starve you of it. Just what did we make of what we saw, especially in the business end of the World Cup, with regards to that physicality versus like pure football? And I'll start with you, Coach, as we welcome you.
Well, I think, first of all, is to say a World Cup where I think we saw the best of the stars that we expected.
Yeah.
We expected to see Mbappe, we expected to see Haaland, we expected to see Odegaard, we wanted to see Bellingham. We wanted to see all of these renowned stars that we know performing at the highest level. And I think it was a tournament where we finally saw that on a big stage.
Mm-hmm.
Let me add Mbokazi in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
When he add Mbokazi in that. But I think the big players performed at a very high level this tournament. Mm-hmm. If we speak particularly to what you were saying now,
yeah,
technical ability over physicality,
mm-hmm,
I think the base level for international standards of physicality is incredibly high. And I think especially where a tournament like the World Cup fits in the schedule of a player's overall season, I think, mm-hmm, that was very interesting this season.
Okay.
We saw the player of the tournament in Rodri. Coming out as player of the tournament. But if you think about his season with Manchester City,
yeah,
how many games did he
didn't really play? Yeah, yeah. He didn't play much.
So I think you would have seen maybe an interview with Pep Guardiola earlier this week where he mentioned,
we'll see the best of him
at the World Cup. How was Odegaard in the World Cup? Incredible.
Incredible as well.
Yeah.
How much football did he play towards the end of the season with Arsenal? Not much. So I think we saw a lot of these big stars who maybe didn't have the most minutes this season, mm-hmm, but they peaked in the World Cup.
Mm.
Let's speak about PSG, how they used Dembele this season.
Yeah.
They used him sporadically in the league, especially because they had Club World Cup the previous season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there wasn't much rest.
So how the top coaches have managed the periodization of these players to peak at the right period, I thought it was very interesting. And I admire the coaches to how they manage to get the best of their big players in this World Cup.
Oh.
And I want to ask, because
can I just add on? Mm-hmm. For me, when I looked at the last four, I look at the countries of all these nations and how they play. You look at France, comes back to speed and three up front,
mm-hmm,
a little bit of creativity. Okay, Olise this time around, but without Olise, because Olise was never like a starter until now, right? So Olise with a little bit of creativity, but the rest is just speed, right? And that is devastating. We knew that from the World Cup, like, okay, who's going to stop France?
Yeah.
Then you look at Spain, they grew into the tournament, and once they peaked, they became a different team. We saw that against France as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were the only last four that could actually keep the ball. Right, we have Argentina, they rely on strength and physicality, opportunities. Last 10 minutes, when you're thinking, I'm going to drink water, they score. Right? Then you have in England, where it's let's go and see. For me personally, it's like, okay, guys, let's go. Because he changed the wingers the whole tournament. He would never stop with the same
line. Yeah.
He changed everything. The only problem that he had was the right back because of the red card, Reece James when he got injured. But the rest, it was like, let's see. you know?
Yeah.
And then for me, what was more interesting was to see that game against France versus Spain, because then it reminded me of the 2010, 2011, 2012, 2009 Barcelona. So then you can be as strong as you want, you can be as dangerous as you want, but if you stab you the ball, there's no danger, right?
Yeah.
And for me, also as interesting as it was like, it reminded me as to then, that's why like at that time after watching that game, I said, I wish Spain can win this tournament, so we can go back to basics, you can go back to playing football.
Yeah.
Let's go back to enjoying, let it be nice in the eye, because everything is about speed. And you know, as a forward now these days, if you can't run, you don't want to play. And also if France win, then it just takes away the having like a natural striker front, because then Mbappe drifts around, Dembele drifts around, Doué drifts around, so anybody can play there. So when you look at Harry Kane now is, it reminds me of Rooney when Rooney late the last state of his career. You know,
being the playmaker.
So I'm I don't know, guys. I'm a midfield person. So when I'm watching the game, my most interest it's within the midfield itself. And what I saw Spain doing, and I remember because I was doing most of his games, I said Spain changed when they started using who's this boy?
Fabian Ruiz.
No. Ten.
Daniel Olmo.
They struggle without Olmo, because then you have an organizer. There's Pedri, you've got Rodri, and then we've got this other one. So they couldn't penetrate the first line of pressing, whatever it was. But Olmo can, because also don't play with the out nine. They play with the false nine. Mm-hmm. So Olmo can play in between those half spaces and also be able to turn, because he's naturally number 10.
Yeah.
And once he started playing, it's just space that picking and picking.
Elevated.
So. For me, coach, the question what I want to ask is to then, we're looking at those last four, because I mean, I think that's where the tournament really, really started. Those last four really are now on everybody's mind, they're still fresh on everybody. What is one thing from a coachable point of view that you think it's going to be a trend going to the new season? Because for me, I always believe that a team that wins the World Cup, a team that wins the Champions League actually influences you that help play.
Yeah.
I saw PSG back to back. And it reminded me of Liverpool football. That's all right.
What were we calling it? They were calling it rock and roll football. And roll football.
But I also remember the Xavi and yesterday Busquets and how everybody wanted to play.
Where everyone was doing the tiki taka.
So for me, it's like every big tournament actually gives us something that will be a new trend into the new season that we're going to. So within the World Cup that you watch, what do you think is going to be a new trend that coaches right now, whether from a club level, whether from an international level, they're going to take actually try to implement to improve the standard of play?
Yeah, I love how you speak about Spain, first of all. I think Spain introduced and continued to evolve in something that I think internationally reliant, we all struggle with as coaches, which is beating the low block.
Yeah.
And I think Spain did something so incredible in this World Cup to show different methods to break down that low block. And I think this is the major trend that coaches and teams will take out of this is once you have that opponent in the low block, what is your intention now? Is your intention to suffocate the team, put them in the low block, have your rest defense in place, counter press, create off of the second wall, isolate on the wide areas, Yamal one side, Nico Williams the other side to create these individual moments? Yeah. Yes, it's one option. Or is there moments as well that Spain do incredibly well? Is time of the game, can I now invite a little bit of pressure? Can I get you to open up the spaces so that I can play into a little bit of speed behind?
Yeah.
Can Oyarzabal draw one of the center backs out now and create space in behind?
Yeah.
So I think you'll see a lot of trends in this World Cup, goals across the board increased. Yeah, I think in the tournament, it's one of the World Cups where we've scored the most amount of goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that can be down to just the evolution of soccer where we are at the moment.
Oh,
I don't call
it soccer.
No, you didn't.
No.
This is soccer. This is a Kasi, guys.
So you know why we're saying that? Because one of the big debates is football becoming too Americanized? You see now we have four quarters. We have the Super Bowl at halftime.
Please.
We have hydration breaks.
No, but please.
I think it's obviously allowed for Darren to say soccer because the biggest competition we've just watched now was from there, and that's how they refer to football,
as soccer.
You know, but I want to say with what Dick was saying, maybe one of the biggest things we can take from the World Cup, I know we can speak tactics and all of that, what you've just mentioned is obviously when you're playing against a team that keeps a low block. I remember when yourself, Rulani and Coach Micho were at Pirates, at times when we played against a team that keeps a low block, would sometimes give them a throw-in closer to the corner line, you know, just to say, like, come, now you need to bring up numbers so that we know that we'll probably catch you on a transition. So maybe those are some of the things. Yeah. But what I feel that would be one of the biggest things to take out of this World Cup, seeing all 10 African teams being eliminated, seeing how far the games were decided at the last minute of the
critical phases.
So for me, it would be the mental strength. You know, if there's one thing, I don't think football can change, you know, talent from the players. But mentally, if players aren't strong, because you look at the game against Spain and Argentina, for a Spain team that dominated the entire game, but they never stopped knocking on that door. Mm. You know, they made sure that they keep Argentina in their half and dominated position. And for some teams, you think, we've been trying. So now maybe, you know, let's let go. Maybe this is in our day.
It even looked like they could concede at some point, like where you think about it, and like, these ones, are they going to get caught on a counter because they're going up so high?
So now I feel one thing that maybe coming back to the country would be, how strong are the players mentally? Because we can speak of the physical strength, physical fitness and all of that. But are you strong enough to play the game from the first minute until the last minute, irrespective of the hydration breaks?
Yeah.
Because you've seen other teams struggle immediately after the hydration break. When a team was struggling and the other one came back, then you saw an England team come strong against Norway after the hydration break. Because teams at times, because that's what they call the critical phase of the game, you know, the beginning and the end of every half. So can we probably, I would certainly think, because when we were at Pirates, we introduced a mental coach in Yanni Puter. You know, he used to work with the Springboks.
You guys had a mental coach.
We had a mental coach. So what people don't understand is the success of rugby is not entirely based on the strategy, you know, and the game model. But it also depends on how strong mentally these players are to know that we carry the hopes of the camp.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the Springboks play, bro, I swear you could bet your last dollar on the Springboks to win, because that's how strong and resilient those guys are. When they won the World Cup in Japan, you know, they lost the first game and you think, but they still came back. You look at Spain in winning this match. They started off badly, same as in the 2010 World Cup.
Yeah.
Played a draw against Cape Verde when everybody wrote them off. They're like, okay, this is our time to come back in the game. You know, I think we showed glimpses of that with Bafana Bafana. Immediately after the game against Mexico, the next games, you know, we started showing up.
Yeah.
So it's also now, I think, working on the mental aspect of the players. Mm. That how do you stay mentally fit?
Yeah.
Because also, maybe can I ask for that as well? Yeah. When you speak of the mental fatigue or whatever the case may be, and you're also referring to Spain incident, when they pinned Argentina there, they still tried and poke and poke. But then you look at the coach himself, he believes in that style.
Yeah.
We have, when you compare us to, when you compare Bafana Bafana to Spain's coach, it's chalk and cheese, my friend. You can't, not because of the achievement, but because of the belief on the system itself, right? When you have a Pedri over the road, do you know how you're going to play? You don't need Gavi to come in and fight people. No, you know that you're going to put the ball on the ground, make sure that you go one side to isolate Yamal and play a little bit longer so that he can do what he does. You believe regardless of where the stage is, what time of the game is, right? So then, because then you've got the right players to do so. We showed glimpses when we were desperate to do so.
When we were back.
Not because we had to. When we won our backs against the wall, that's when we showed glimpses. But we have players that are very capable of doing it. So now it comes back to, even if you come back to locally, hey, guys, I work locally, so I can't say bad. My man, so locally we have... I need to be very careful what I'm going to say. So locally we have teams that are really, really relying on a low block. That's it, right? Yeah. And it's probably more than 80% of teams that just relies on low block. When you catch one, we catch one. But one thing of the teams that are against the team that is low block, they lack patience.
Yeah.
And I just hope that if there's one thing that will take from Spain, it's patience, my guy. Keep doing the same thing.
Trust
it comes
process.
Back to that. Or at some point, one of the players within the low block will lose. There will be a lapse of concentration. That's what you need to punish.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? So for me, it's that, because I think it's been there in South Africa for a while. Maybe Sundowns was the team that really dominated and pinned teams there. But also, if you remember, maybe when Sundowns was, I don't know, playing different football out of this world, they'll be very patient, my guy. So one thing that coaches have taught us, like, you can win the game of the first minute, or you can also win the game in the last minute.
Yeah.
You don't have to rush. You don't have to, especially when you pin them. What they did against Argentina was, once they lose the ball, you counter press. If you can't win it, you foul, my friend. Mm. Don't foul to get a yellow card. They push this person in.
Maybe, coach, like, maybe to add on what the gents are saying, right? My takeout from this is obviously sports science. How important is it? Because as Africans, we tend to overlook and say, yeah, now we're coming with all these machines, the laptops that are telling us the distances and whatnot. But perhaps they play a huge role psychologically as well. And to that extent, to a point that also we want to take it back to, you know, the planning with regards to consistency and making sure that you stay true to your identity, because we spoke about how Spain plays and how we only do it when, because my pickup from all of this, the entire World Cup, was that you find a team that will come in, play a certain way, wait until you concede. Then that's when everyone is like, okay, now we need to chase. Yeah. Then you ask yourself, where was that mentality? Perhaps it could have been better before that, or is it a thing of belief? So maybe you can weigh in on that, because you also travel, you know the differences as well, because we always compare, like, North African nations, how they play versus how we approach games in different stages as well. How was your experience in with it?
I think definitely when it comes to the physical performance factors out of it, the physical preparation in Northern Africa is massive. And I take that from a cultural point of view, because the players themselves, without the influence of us staff, the players are extremely dedicated to their own physical preparation. And it starts at a young age. It starts in the academy.
Yeah.
I'll take Ed Raja, for example. It's so often that I come early to training. I'm there in the office talking to the technical staff. Under 16, under 17-year-old boy, he's got his individual program. He's there in the gym. Mm. And this is on a daily basis. And when I think back to a South African context, a local context, I don't see that same structure put into the thinking. No, not whether we have the facilities for it, not whether we have the capabilities to do it, but I mean the thinking behind a 15-year-old boy saying, I need to do this step by step by step to prepare myself to be a professional.
Yeah.
So I think already as a North African point of view, I think as a European context, I think that's been drummed into them already from a young age.
Yeah.
Now, you figure, you were speaking about rugby. In a rugby sense, we do have it in South Africa. Because when I was at AmaZulu, I worked in Glenwood High School. And we had a partnership with Glenwood High School. The rugby boys were, I've got my program, I've got my protein shake afterwards, in between classes, I've got all of this set up. So I think definitely out of a cultural point of view, soccer, football in South Africa is behind. South Africa is behind. Football in South Africa is behind. Yeah. The thinking behind football in South Africa is behind. The structure behind football in South Africa is behind. And I don't think it's the entire culture of South Africa that's behind. But physical, guys, we can't say we are just going to outplay them with football.
Yeah, we can't.
Football has changed.
It is.
Yeah, but also
football has changed.
I see something. It looks like we've got a special delivery. Sorry. Okay. So Kurier, it hasn't just delivered an international guest. But there's how many are there? Five.
They're giving us money.
We'll have to open the boxes to see. But we are getting a special delivery from Kurier. There's one for you as well.
Deliver fridges.
Hey.
Must deliver fridges.
Appliances.
Something.
No.
Unboxing
videos. Oh, we're at first level now, guys. We're unboxing videos.
Hey, but this box is light, man.
That box is light.
This one's for you, boss.
Thank you, sir.
Hey,
could you get a box? This one's for me. Thank you, boss, man.
Yeah.
Good man. They must always bring you. You don't want to see the other guys, so they don't give us gifts.
No, Lincoln, you are the man.
All right. Hey.
Whoa. Courier it from us to you. Flask. Educate.
A what?
Educative. Yeah, another reflection. So if I
drive it next, my brother.
My lights are off. I'm changing a tire.
I can go and be romantic. This is so cool. I can go to bed.
But the courier aid, a special delivery from courier aid. Just like every great parcel, this mystery gift was packed with care. A water bottle to keep you refreshed while you move it. Mm-hmm. A snack to keep your engine running. A jacket to keep you warm through the winter days. A backpack for your essentials, your adventures, and maybe a few special parcels. Thank you for being part of the courier aid journey. Move it, courier it, because your parcel deserves more. But party! Bring more gifts.
Like it.
You know, the next episode, we need gifts.
I'm not trying now.
Can I just show? We've got Adidas Queen bags. Shout out, man.
How?
We've got World Cup winning bags.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kuriaid for the cool gifts.
Thank you.
Thank you for making sure that everything arrived here safely. The gift, the guest. Mm. We really appreciate it.
I love the message from the bottles, eh?
What does it say?
You like to move? We like to move it.
I don't want to say it's a voiceover.
It's written there.
It's a voiceover.
What is wrong with you?
That's an ad. Go radio. Like, okay.
You'll never know.
Like, move. It's moving.
You'll never know. Man.
So, someone's watching.
You never know who's watching.
Guys, doing voiceovers is tough.
Oh, yes.
He did one.
With Hollywood beds. It's still on the radio now. Did he? Hi, guys. Chaco Mugisi, Hollywood beds.
You must do like maybe it's three paragraphs. You must do like in 60 seconds.
Time is money.
Like it's going to be played at 60 seconds.
Time is money.
Why do I feel like
that? English words.
It's him who was saying
time is money.
Probably he was saying, I don't have enough time, guys.
I'm a professional.
It's now, speaking of being professional, I'm a professional and I want to move it right along. So it's so important that we number
nice 10. Jason, my guy.
Thank you, my man. It's so important that you're here, coach, because it ties in with what we want to speak about today. South African coaches, guys, we are taking over Africa. We are moving, we are making a footprint, we are leaving a mark. I know Coach Pizzo had started it in 2020. When he surprised us by leaving Mamelodi Sundowns after signing a new contract, going to Al Ahly, one of the, if not the biggest club in Africa. The goes there, wins two Champions League, and in doing so, opens up the door for other coaches to go. So if you look at it currently, Coach Rolani Mokoena just signed for Pyramids after leaving Al Ittihad in Libya. Coach, you guys are fresh from Raja Casablanca, where it was your second stint at Raja. That was massive. We have Coach Mangoba Mniti, who is at Yanga. Coach Steve Barker, he's out there doing his thing. We have so many coaches now.
Coach Tebza in Botswana, my friend.
Coach Tebza in Botswana.
Who's lifting.
Yeah. Was
and
in
he
Botswana.
Also went to AFCON as well, Coach Tebza.
Coach Tebza.
Coach Morena.
Coach Tinkler now at Asante Kotoko.
Oh, yeah, Ghana.
Ghana. So South African coaches, there's something about South African coaches that the rest of Africa is seeing, and they're coming and they're asking and they're taking. I want to ask, what is it about what we are doing in South Africa that is so highly regarded that even other African countries now are coming? Usually we bring players from there, but now we see almost a reverse way. We have coaches going.
Is that a good
thing?
Not appreciating them enough at home. Other African countries, they looking at them and like, oh, you don't know what you have.
Besides the dollar, bro, besides, you know, the bottom line, I don't think it's a good thing. I'll tell you why.
Why?
I'm saying this from a very selfish point of view.
Yes.
If all the coaches that you spoke of, anybody else from the continent can come back and take them, which means they're knowledgeable. These are people that really can help their teams, the respective teams, whatever team they're going to. And which means they're going to improve those teams, which means for the fact that you saw them here, which means they're doing something good here. But why aren't we acknowledging them here? If Africa can say we've got their best coaches,
why aren't we able to keep our best coaches to improve our local game? Because if you watch, dude, I work on my local games.
Yes.
Sometimes you feel like you need to take a nap while a game is playing. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm football fair, right? Because and also you see other coaches still rotating, dude. Same coach coaching six different teams in two seasons.
Yeah.
So my point is, like, if we're saying we're exporting brilliant coaches, brilliant minds, guys, why aren't we selfish enough to make sure, that our own product becomes better and better? If we allow one coach, let him go to Yualakhli, that's fine. Raja, that's fine. The rest of Bangoba, come here. Let's improve this thing. Because at the end of the day, you want the balance within the PSL. You don't want eight teams fighting relegation and eight teams are fighting to be only two teams are fighting for the league. We want everybody to fight for the league. This thing, dude, I play for a team preseason. We meet team, but okay, guys, if you can come sixth, I'm like, what? You talk about being sixth position before the league starts. Why are you trying to fight for the league? Like, nah, it's too much. No, because I play for teams that are fighting for the league. You know what I'm saying? So it is very foreign to me to actually hear that. So what I'm saying is, like, why don't we keep our coaches here? We bring the standards is going to get a little bit higher. Mm. And once the standard is higher, the players are getting better. The players that are getting better in their teams, they get into my final, we're getting better. We can win AFCON. That's what I'm saying.
Coach, what do you say about that?
And give them the dollars that they need. We do have the money here. We do have it.
I think it starts from what you were saying. The league that we have in South Africa is incredibly competitive. And I think that's what created that environment for coaches to really push themselves and develop themselves. Mm-hmm. You remember when we were challenging with Sundowns at that time, Figo?
Yeah.
But
and they won the league in the last game.
I felt like also in the technical teams, there was that iron sharpening iron. Coach Pizzo, he had Coach Mario, we had, you know, Coach Mangoba was there. Us, we had the Rolani Micho, we had Kyle, we had, and we were...
Loughman.
Yeah, three performance analysts this side, three performance analysts this side, bios, strength and conditioning coaches from France. Mm. We had the goalkeeper coaches that are now at AS Monaco. Yuri just signed for Monaco, guys.
Yeah.
So this is the level we were working with at that time. And I felt like the league grew because of that.
Yeah.
We created a hyper-competitive league.
Yeah.
But the ambition of coaches is that I agree with exactly with what you were saying now about top eight. I'm not a fan of top eight,
I'm
guys.
I'm not either.
Mm-hmm. What is...
Sorry to MTN. I'm not. No, I'm a football guy.
The mandate things.
Top eight. What is top
eight? What is top eight?
When I was in Tanzania, there's no top eight, guys. When I was in Casablanca, there's no top eight.
Win the league.
Win the league.
Yeah.
There's five teams you have to compete against if you had one of the big ones. You have to play against ASFAR. You've got to play against Bukan. You've got to play against Wydad. You've got to play this season against Masfez.
Mm. Yeah.
All of them have the same mandate. Win the league.
Win the league. Mm. Yeah.
There's nobody there out of those top five that are saying, well, if we are next year in top eight, it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have a feeling that we don't trust or believe in our own enough when it comes to, you know, all these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because... And I don't want to come across sounding out of us, but I'm going to say...
Say it.
I'm going to say it the way it is. I feel like, time and again, whenever there's a foreign coach, there's always, will give you enough time or a building phase or it's a plan, a long-term plan where it's a five-year period and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to choose Coach Darryl right now, come two, three games, if things don't work out...
You're ready to pull the trigger.
So for me, that's where the difference is. And we've seen that whenever you trust the process, it helps. We've seen with AmaZulu, they're becoming better and better with Coach Atazwane, according to my opinion. Mm-hmm. We've seen how Coach Rulani, how he has worked himself to be where he is. We've seen with Coach Pizzo. At some point, there was a time where at Sundowns, no one wanted Coach Pizzo. Every time there used to be, here, Pizzo must go, to be a well-decorated and well-celebrated coach. Right now,
mm-hmm.
but mainly because someone believed in him, you know, and there was that club owner who said, you have all the four reins, what do you need? Because if you don't have the belief, you don't have the support, it's hard for me to present a vision where it's not supported. So I think when our coaches go abroad, that's where they get the support that they need, you know. So that's
interesting that you mention that now, because you say, okay, foreign coaches that are working in South Africa, they are afforded that
time,
but the support at the time.
Let's think about it now. Coach Mangoba goes to Tanzania now. It's a foreign coach now, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach Rulani goes there. He's the foreigner.
Yeah.
So what I believe is, like, when you go into these situations in foreign countries, you have to know that the time is limited, guys.
Yeah. Mm.
And you need to get results.
Pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to get results.
And it's a
privilege.
But
you need to perform.
You guys had an invincible season, didn't you? At Raja.
But also,
and like, even that wasn't good enough.
You see, all the big teams in the continent, all of them you can go to, Asar Toko Toko, all the big teams, they've got a culture. They've got a way of play. They've got a belief. So now, if we, how many teams in South Africa can say that? So now, so that's why now we can see a lot of foreigners coming in and going out, not giving enough time. Local coaches as well, they'll be there, not giving in time, because then we're trying to find a balance. Sometimes, like, now I feel sorry for the team clubs, for the team owners. As much as other ones, there's other ones we know. Figure the one that you play for, we know, we can't even name them. Because that really changes coaches, like, nobody's business. But just that the problem is, like, we don't have a certain culture within South African football itself. There's only a few teams that have an identity of how they play, right? An identity takes time. You need to find the right players. You need to find the right coaches, right conditions for the players to actually thrive within the system that you have.
Yeah.
Most of the time is, and I used to believe in the past, I'm like, yeah, but why teams sign players before the coach? Because there's a culture. There's a way of playing. Yeah. The coach must come and adapt to the culture that we have. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's been happening everywhere. It's been happening in Real Madrid, Barca. They sign before you come, my friend. Before you come, your coach, they tell you, these are the players that we have. These are the players you need to use. What? And let's get rid of that. I'm saying South Africa. I hope that with the World Cup, with all that you have achieved at the World Cup, with all that we've seen in the World Cup, right? There's so much things that we can learn and bring back into our show, especially to the club. The league is rather well. No complaining about the league. To the club itself. To the club itself, it's like, the reason why you're naming Athazwan, Athazwan, even when he's kids achieves, he had an idea of how he wants to play.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He had an idea. But the problem is, like, identity versus results. That was a problem.
Also versus material. Because do you have the material to implement what your idea is?
That's him. Material.
I'm saying.
Okay. So that's the thing. Like, you have an identity as to how do you want to play. He believed in youngsters. He gave youngsters an opportunity. He gave so many youngsters opportunity to play at Kaizer Chiefs, right? He's still doing the same thing. So which means he believed in youngsters. He believes in continuity. Mm-hmm. But then you find an AmaZulu team that is really changing. They need a change. They have the right coach to believe in him because he's the only person that can bring change. Mm-hmm. But at the time now that there's going to be results driven, they're going to look at Coach Adazani differently. If he doesn't bring the results. You understand what I mean? So certain teams, maybe like 80% of the teams in South Africa is like, okay, if we can have Figo and Deco and Brighton good, we sell them there. We make money, we fine. That's why we need to
fight okay for a bit.
Instead of fighting for the championship because we believe that we don't have the materials. Sometimes, guys, we can go back and look at the World Cup. There's a club that my goat is playing for. Look at the talent that is there. Only 4 or 5. The rest is fight. We have teams like that in South Africa. But you just have to have the right coach for you to fight for honors. You can't be waiting for Nedbank. You need to fight for something. And then when you fight for those big trophies, then you're allowing yourself to play in continental football. Continental football will open your mind. South African teams, if they can if they can understand how important it is to go play in the continent, I am telling you, besides the money, if you play, you know the struggle of the lay over there, Dubai, but you're going overseas first to come back.
No, you never tell to.
We did. Dude, I played for Bafana. We did the same thing. We never flew anywhere directly. I played in Bafana when we... Oh, you buy that thing, that airport, they sleep like this. I don't know what that thing is. Yeah, it's a condom here, there's a kid here crying.
But let's speak about, like, if you say now, getting into Africa, competing in Africa as clubs in South Africa.
Yeah.
But let's speak about the times that we have seen smaller clubs, with respect, in South Africa, competing in CAF.
Yeah.
Marumo Gallants.
Stellenbosch.
Yeah. We played against them with Simba.
Yeah.
You beat them. See.
Yeah. But the level of the PSL shows you that once you get onto that continental stage, you can compete.
Yeah.
But I do know there's financial...
I was about to say, the financial implications that come with it, does it also influence where you go to as a club owner, right? To say, this is the profile of the coach that I want that will somehow, you know, take my club to the next level. And also identify with the club culture as well. Does it give you a sense of direction? And also, how do you then determine? Because you find that, for example, you spoke about Marumo. Marumo has already had like 2 French coaches. Where, according to my opinion, I don't know that Silo, you can verify that. According to me, I think obviously Coach Roman Fons was probably earning higher. Coach, thingy, what's
was he not Sebastian?
Actually, it's three. Sebastian Migne as well, and Coach Lafitte as well. So, are we saying that with all of those resources, we can't take them, bring them back, and say, Coach Daryl, I think like now what they did with Coach Puti Mohafe, and then just support them, you know, because I personally feel like with the amount of money, yes, you want the experience and everything. We're talking about financial implications. You can still bring that back and say, I want to plug it back to the team. Come on. Is there any implications?
I was about to say that, you know, if there's one thing that teams need to understand, stay in your lane. Okay, I hear even Nuteko say, you know, every team should compete to win the league.
Yeah.
It's obviously going to be different, you know, because the playing field is not equal. There's teams with more resources as opposed to other teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's teams like ETS Galax who have a business model of unearthing raw talent, and selling them to keep the team afloat. Mm-hmm. So every team has got their different business model.
Yeah.
So when it comes to competition, there'll never be a fair fight with regards to that. But what we need to do is first keep our foreign local coaches, instead of them going abroad, keep them, you know, pay them well, so that they can improve the standard of the game in the PSN. Secondly, because this financial thing, I think it's at some point, 5-10 years from now, we are going to have a league of only youngsters, right? Because we've created the DDC, which is good to bring players up.
Yeah.
But when you look at the amount of experienced players that are out without jobs, it's now showing you that the league is going to be a league played by youngsters who are exciting with a lot of energy, but can they play to win? Because when you look at Sundowns, there's no way Sundowns can play 7-8 youngsters in the team, because they understand the magnitude of winning, that you need a balance between experience and young players. So at some point, this financial thing, that's why I said it in the last episode, if it means we must adapt to the hydration breaks to bring in and commercialize our league and get more sponsors coming in, so that the budget, what do you call it? The stipend, the grant. Mm-hmm. So if the grant then gets a lot bigger, so that teams can have a lot more money to pay players, especially top achieving players, you know, players that can give you results, so that we keep that. So that when people like Darren and Fadlu get offers abroad, we can match the offers so that the league continues to grow.
But here's my question to you, Figgy. You talk about the business model of every different team's financials, but you talk about TS Galaxy. TS Galaxy team is a business person, right? Every beginning of the season, I'm sure he's got maybe at least 3 or 4 players that he wants to sell. He's going to make sure that he uses them the entire season, because that's his business model, right? IX used to do the same thing. Staley started doing the same thing. I'm saying that then if that's your business model, which means now you need to get a good coach and be able to improve your players to perform well, so that Sundowns knocking, you can say 16 bar. That 16 bar actually helps you now to attract good players, right? Other teams don't even have a player and nobody can sell. Even your 5-a-side will never even pick from them. But I'm saying, and I'm not saying those are bad players. I'm saying a good coach is a good coach by improving players.
Yeah, but a season is not enough to win the league.
No, I'm saying,
for instance, when a coach comes in.
TS Galaxy is not winning the league. Yeah. So we're talking about a business model now. I mean, I'm saying, as a footballer, if I'm a footballer, I get into a dressing room, I'm kidding up there. I've got an ambition and a dream to play for national team, to play for big teams. But if I'm having a coach that tells me about, yeah, guys, if we can get slot in, top it, how's my mental capacity or my mental thing for the whole season? Because I'm not playing to win something.
Yeah, because you know why? When it comes to coaches, one thing about coaches are conscious. Coaches have a clear thinking, a clear mind. A coach would never want his team to build up when he knows he does not have the quality or the players that can build up from the back. Because at the end of the day, that's a risk. And teams are going to concede goals.
Yeah.
That's why even in football, I know you love Spain, how they play their game.
In Sundowns.
Spain, Sundowns, right? Because of how they play. But Spain can't play the tiki-taka with Arujo that plays for Barcelona.
He's Uruguayan.
But you understand, like certain, those kind of players, they cannot. That's why when a coach comes in, sometimes we think a coach hates certain players. But you come in as a coach and you believe in your philosophy that I'm going to build up from the back. Yeah. I'm going to play into the next line. You know, supply triangles safe and secure.
You certainly need those players. And when I come into the team, Brighton, and then it's, you're a goalkeeper, I don't need you. Ute, the coach hates me. No, no. You can't fit because his philosophy. You understand?
So he's talking about the business model. You're talking about staying in your lane. So, coach, when you bring those things together, right? Because the reason why I was asking that question, it's because you cannot then be on both sides. You need to stand for something.
Yes.
You cannot
say,
no, it's a financial sense. I need...
When am I building?
You choose one. So we get to that point. How does it count now when it comes to now someone trying to... And I'll make an example with the statement that was released earlier with the chairman Farouk Khatoria after appointing coach Khalil. He said, the mandate is clear. Win the league. We already have the trophy. And they had no business, with all due respect, to win the NetBank, but they won the NetBank. Now, all of a sudden, all these things, they're changing. As opposed to us saying, we're working on something, we're on to something here. Now the mandate is, versus what the guys are saying, now all of a sudden is, hey, we have to win things.
But I think there's nothing wrong with ambition. Okay. Ambition should always be part of your club. It should always be part of you, your DNA as a person. Every single one of us here is ambitious in life.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to success. Mm-hmm. But how you break that up, how you make it into achievable goals, how you make timelines of that success, that's very, very important. If you say, like you are saying, I want to win the league this season, okay, you can want to win the league this season, but there should be the, what did you call it earlier? I should have the furniture to be able to do it. I should be able
to have the tools, the material
to be able to achieve that. Yeah. If not, then how are we going to build that material? Mm-hmm. What are the steps that we are going to, until we are at the level where we can? But that doesn't change the fact that my ambition is to win the league.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I still want to win the league, no matter if it's this season, in two seasons, in three seasons.
That's what I'm driving. I'm saying, when are we building the culture of winning? Within the, we know, guys, come end of the season, only going to be a few teams that are going to win this. Yeah. But nobody's guaranteed.
There's something that I like that both of you are speaking about as well. And it comes a little bit earlier when we were speaking about World Cup and you speaking here about critical phases and how do you build resilience. How do you build, my question, how do you build resilience in a team when at the end of the season, all the challenges that a coach went through with his players, the post-match meetings that we've had to fix situations, to correct, all of that IP, all of that intellectual property that we've gained as a team, if at the end of the season I kick 14 players out and I bring 10 new players, which I see a lot, guys,
from
the outside.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah.
But now how all of that intellectual property that I've been spending the whole season with Figo, we're going to build up in the half space. Mm. We're going to counter press when it's in the zone. We're going, the rest defense looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
Out of possession, in possession, our set pieces when we come against the mix. But at the end of the season, 10 players are out and 15.
Starting afresh again.
And you start afresh again.
Yeah, you're not building from that.
Exactly.
That's how you find a coach.
That's why you guys leave.
That's how you find a coach like Den. When Den joins a team, he brings his own players because he understands the philosophy he wants to play. And you think, but Dentens is always making room for his own players. But he understands that Emilinzo knows the system, knows what he wants to do. Wherever Tembu go, he'll bring his own players. So my problem is, you know, with the teams, in South African teams, is patience. Everybody speaks about falling in love with the process, but nobody trusts the process.
Yeah.
You know, the process does not sometimes have a time frame.
Don't skip the steps.
You
don't
can't
say
there's no shortcuts.
Let me ask you guys this. So we speak about patience. We speak about building that intellectual property, keeping it within the building and not letting 14 people go. If I'm a businessman and I've invested 50 million rand into buying a club and I can see, my money is going down the drain, how do I then get that patience? Because also in South Africa, we see a lot of buying of statuses, people coming into football that are not necessarily football people, but now you've made this significant investment, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we then balance the patience that you ask for and the building that you speak about with me not losing the significant investment?
Can I slot in there before, coach? It comes back to what feels, if we commercialize the business in South African football, we'll have companies that actually come in and invest in football. Companies will invest in football. We don't have to worry about those things because now we're losing the culture of the South African football where clubs with so much history, now they're gone. Somebody comes and buy 2 years down the line, it's bankrupt. So now if we commercialize, I'm not telling the league how to run the league. I'm saying
Mm-hmm. If we have 80 to 90% of teams that have good sponsorships, then we don't have to worry about the patience and all that stuff because then you're a sustainable business. Yeah. But if I'm buying a club, I'm buying Figo's club, I need to understand is then what is Figo's debts are, whatever the due diligence that I need to do.
Yeah.
But also I need to, I can't just have an ambition of buying a club so that you can use it in conversation when we're chilling in the suites. I'm like, yeah, I also have a team.
And the stability part of it.
I need to understand this. So then the reason why I'm buying a team, it can't be a dream like when I grew up, I always wanted to own a team. No, Chuck, you need to understand first is then what entitles for you to own a team? What are the necessities that you need to have for you owning a team? And what is it that you're bringing different than the previous owner? Because most of the time we bring the same people in, dude. You come in, the club wasn't playing. I hate teams that don't play players. They come there 2 months, the players are complaining, but they still have to go play. Dude, I was part of those players. Then the next season, we're selling the club. The new owner comes in there. He gives us beggars, hey, what? 2 months down the line, he can't even pay us again. So you're stuck to the same position. That's why now, then you know what happens? When as a 28-year-old, they bring in a 16-year-old because they're going to pay less.
Yeah.
So that they can reduce. Now my debts now. I just bought a car, just bought a house, I just have a new family. So now I'm struggling because of you came in and increased everybody's salary because of...
Excitement.
Your pocket is burning.
Yeah.
So that's why if we commercialize this thing, guys, if we have to adopt maybe all this other sports as well, have people that can come in and buy shares, guys.
Yeah.
Commercialize this thing so that it can be sustainable. We don't want to lose us. You know what I mean? This club has so much history because we got excited. Going to play in Bloemfontein because you're looking forward to that hostility. It's the only top now. You're looking forward to go to Orlando Stadium as an opponent to go there and embrace this hostility because some of us thrive from those type of environment. But then if you have Stenbis who just won a lotto last week, now I want to buy a club. Because then you use it. It's true, guys. You're just using that for breaking rights. Yeah. There's a reason why Orlando Pirates is still Orlando Pirates. KZ Chiefs is still KZ Chiefs. Okay, let's leave Sundowns alone because we're always going to be like, hey, financial, what? But there's a reason why those clubs are there because there's ambitions within those clubs.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? There's a reason. Once you buy a club without a reason, not understanding that you're going to use it just to get chicks and to use it in conversations, to get into the government, whatever the case may be, the people that are suffering are the product itself, which are footballers at the end of the day. And then we'll be sitting and asking ourselves, like, yeah, what happened to Figo? Not understanding the implications that goes, I'm signing a two-year contract. You sign me a two-year contract. The next thing, 2 months down the line, your teammate McConnell, you don't want to pay me back.
Yeah,
that we're dealing with in South Africa.
You earn 20,000. You can afford a sports car, but can you maintain a sports car?
You can't. Yes.
I think that's
right. So you qualify, you buy the car, you pay.
You want to improve your life.
You pay the insurance. You're left with 3.5.
Yeah.
Now, when the car needs to go for service, can you be able to maintain it?
No,
so that it becomes a problem.
But also, I think it's very much important that much as we're saying commercially, this is what we're looking for so that you can increase the revenues, right? But I feel like it needs to come back now to the clubs, like what the gents are saying, where we look at ourselves. How well do we run the institution? Yeah. The more we start, beautifying it, it looks more appealing commercially because look at corporates right now. Everyone is always thinking, what the gents are saying. Is it safe for me to go into this when I know that this club tomorrow can wake up and say they're selling it or there's issues that are going to put the name into disrepute of the brand, by virtue of association as well. So my humble appeal would be the clubs also now. We need to start looking at ourselves and having those high ambitions that we're talking about to say, this is what I want to see about my club. This is how my club needs to dress up. This is how my club is going to travel. It's those little things before it filters to the players. You look at teams where much as they don't have technical sponsor, but I mean, let's be unified. You can't find a club where now someone is wearing Nike, someone is wearing, all these things.
It's just a little thing. With the blue suit.
100%.
So just
unified. With the doggy there.
In fact, he uses his own sponsor that he makes his own apparel. So those are the things that we need to start doing. And then by this time we start looking at these clubs as an institution, an organized institution, then it becomes more appealing and more commercial for the league. It makes it a whole lot easier because right now you find that the league is probably running double, where you have to market the league and also market the clubs as well and still kill off all these issues of non-payments, these status that are being sold, left, right,
FIFA bans. But I think I want to know.
There's your dog points, I'm telling you.
Play
UK plus the month's dog points. Because, the truth of the matter is, let me educate you for the younger ones at home. There's this thing they call signing on fees, not a signing on fees, image rights. Right? Mm-hmm. So those image rights comes because we have a television broadcast that actually paid the club for you, for them to televise you.
Yeah.
Those are image rights, right? Mm-hmm. So within the image rights itself, your club is marketable. It's free market.
Yeah.
You as a club, it's up to you then how do you use that free market to actually generate money and other sponsorships.
Yeah, correct.
Within that, you sold my image rights before I even came here to this club. So by the time I get here, as a footballer and an operatembo who's an agent, knows nothing, he just wants to have a relationship with Figo's team. Mm. So then he brings me here, not understanding as to then how, what's my value from an image right perspective. Yeah. So I sign a deal, right? You're giving me Red Bull for image rights. We've got 80% of the game on TV. I'm the star player, I'm the captain, I'm forever on TV, but it doesn't balance with my image rights. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't balance with my salary. And then Brighton, Sundowns let him go in January, comes in, he's limping there, he comes in, he gets big money, but I'm there every week. When you do pre-match, I'm Figo there with
I'm impact player.
If you drive Super Sport buses there, my image is there. You sold it already. Dude, if now I'm talking about outside of football, if my face and I have to go to a billboard, I know how much money I'm going to earn. Yeah. Now.
Mm. Tell us.
Now.
It came out.
No, I get what you're saying.
Financial fair play, it's not basically on teams, on any individual teams. No. It's the regulation itself, my guy. If they can go for an artist in South Africa to do Red Bull and be on the bill, I know how much money he's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a footballer that plays every Saturday and Sunday. It's a culture in South Africa, but I'm not even getting even 1% of that on the billboard. That time the billboard spends the 6 months, dude.
Red Bull, give it to
you. You know what I mean? So
give it to him.
So now it comes back to saying, guys, if we are saying we want this product to grow, what is the product? It's the players.
It's us, yeah.
Yeah.
If the players are not well looked after, there's no way, guys. That's why if I'm a coach, I'm a good coach, Tanzania calls me, I'm out. Right? And also sometimes, like, within the passion that I have, I'm thinking of you. What's the bottom line? But as footballers, we grew up in Lokshin, we never thought about the bottom line. All we wanted to do was to see ourselves on TV. It was an ambition. Mm. Wanted to get better and all the type of stuff. But now that I know the business side of it, which is the clubs also, I insisting to for us to learn the business side of it. Tim Sugars is doing that every single day. You can't tell the players don't understand that if I play well here, I'm out. It's actually using the Jomo Sono's playbook. Jomo Cosmos used to do that. That's the same playbook. But I'm saying that now that you do business, allow the players also to be business-minded, sit with you on the table and say, my friend, you know how much my value is. Let's divide this thing, because if we're saying Super Sport or Canal Plus is giving us 80% of the games on TV, this is how much money they gave you. That money, don't tell me that it helps you run the club. You're using my image to run your club.
Yeah.
You can't be.
Yeah,
you can't use my image to run your club. It's you who bought the club, my friend. I wasn't there when you decided to buy a club, but you're using me to make money. Wow, when am I gonna make money? And then the next thing, that's the thing. The next thing, then we see 10 years down the line, we say, like, yeah, but this player's pay with money, guys. If we don't have a basis with a football player, PSL player, registered player, this is the base that you should be getting. A base, then that's what we're starting, you know, minimizing all this other nonsense. Of course, guys, the footballers fuck up. Sorry. Even Euro players, everywhere, we've seen stories. Not like our story is not unique. It happens everywhere. But I'm saying those guys that can bounce back, because there's a base. When we spoke about it in the podcast, when Anela, rest in peace, when he passed on there was money that was taken from his salary when he still played.
League,
we don't have those things in South
Africa. When are we having the SARS conversation?
You know what I mean?
We're
waiting for bonuses, my friend. Other teams, they win 6 games in a season. Which bonus am I going to get? Mm. Waiting for to win the little trophy. Which trophy am I gonna get? But at the end of the day, I need to still improve my life. I'm on TV every day. Do you understand the cultural pressure that I have? I'm on TV. I'm expected to drive a car that is not a manual.
You
must press to start. Am I lying, Figo?
Whoever started it today.
Yeah.
Continue.
The person who started, Jonah.
So I can't pour a perfume. Must do a cologne. Yeah. I can't cut my hair at the bartender at this puzzle shop. I need to go to the salon. Those things, they require money. I need to have a family. I need to have a girlfriend. I need to have all things. With the money that we have, it's gonna.
I like. No. You're fine today. But listen. Yeah, 100%. And I think part of the schooling, and I think we're speaking about
what we're taking from the World Cup. We're speaking about the commercial elements, and it all ties into this. I want to ask you guys, there's something that we have seen in recent times, I think maybe for the past 3-4 seasons, is that we have our teams in pre-season going abroad. Currently, we have Pirates who just finished in Spain, Chiefs are back from Spain, Sundowns are in Austria, and this is something that has been happening over the last, like I'm saying, 4-5 seasons.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, and maybe I'll start with you, Coach, what is the significance? And I'm asking because I've never played professional football, I've never been in a pre-season camp. I want to ask you, why are we going to Spain? Why are we going to Austria when in a few weeks' time we come back, we play in Polokwane, we play in Richards Bay, we play in Bloemfontein? So why are we preparing there when in reality we are going to be, this is our bread and butter, this is where we're going to be playing?
I think it speaks into the globalization of football as a whole. I think if you compare it with 10 years ago, the world was very big in football. If you speak about Africa and Europe, it was miles apart.
Yeah.
Where now you see that the distance to from one club to another, it's short, it's small, it's and it's the and that's how it is in the whole world, in business, in life. I think it's very key when you see the timeline of when clubs choose to go to this. It's not in the beginning of preseason to go do medical testing there, to go do yo-yo tests. We're not doing that.
It's for games.
We're going there to play friendlies, to expose ourselves to a higher level, to expose my players on a bigger platform.
Yeah.
We speak about that being a business, our clubs being a business, but now I'm getting to put my players against Las Palmas.
Yeah.
I'm playing against Las Palmas. I've got scouts in the stands. I've got agents in the stands. Maybe it doesn't materialize into a purchase or a loan now, but maybe in the future that becomes a player that they track. You build relationships. They begin to have a look closer at a specific player or something like that.
Yeah.
So I can see a lot of benefits to this new way of doing the preseason for South African clubs to go abroad to open the market a little bit more for the clubs, for the players, for the networks. And then, of course, just the experience of playing different styles of football. Yeah. We speak about now, we're going to play in a World Cup, but I've never played against a team from Europe. I want to play in a World Cup, but I've never played against a team from Poland, from Russia, from whatever that you find. All the clubs go to Marbella. All the clubs go to, you know, Turkey being one of the places that they go a lot for preseason. Yeah. So, I think it's vitally important
to
improving our teams.
Yeah, I think credit must also go to, and I say this with the utmost respect.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that we probably might downplay here, but you spoke about 5 years down the line and so forth. It's been a trend. What Mamelodi Sundowns has done for the standard of South African football is truly, it needs to be commended, you know, in a sense that if you don't push yourself, you don't push boundaries, you don't measure yourself with the best, you won't be able, you know, to get there. And you won't be able to see whether you're growing, are you in the right trajectory, or you just stagnant. And then come international outings, that's where we'll be exposed. And then we're like, for the past 5 years, were we really the team that we thought we are, or the talent that we are? Because the more you, biologically, we know that Africa has talent. Yes, you're playing in the PSL, you're preparing yourself for the PSL, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, the ultimate goal for every single player or every coach is to always go and play abroad at the higher stage, at the bigger stage.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you preparing here, you also measure the quality. You set the standards and say, with all due respect, if I'm going to go to Mpumalanga and say I'm camping at Ngwenya, right, for example, you look at the surroundings, the friendlies. Is it conducive for you to prepare for what's coming ahead for the league? Because you're going to get there. Let's say there's only two oppositions that are of PSL standard, maybe TS Galaxy, but they're not camping in Mpumalanga as well. And then other than that, you're going to get SAB team, this and that. So all of that, by the time the season starts, it's either you're going to get players who are going to start off a little bit off, a bit lethargic, or you'd rather take that experience of going abroad, play higher standard, higher quality. By the time you come back to SA, it's already onto the league. So already the first tournament, it's MTN 8. You want a good outing. You want a front foot as well. So for me personally, I think with what Sundowns has done in terms of setting the standard higher every time,
everyone is now chasing to raise the bar and keeps on rising and rising, it has become some ripple effect that has filtered within all the teams where everyone is saying the standard is to win the league, is to play good football, is to make sure that we pay our players very well, mm-hmm. but also to export quality players, yeah. because we've seen that's what all the teams now are thriving to do. When was the last time we saw Orlando Pirates, apart from Deco moving to Sundance, Opa moving to, you know, when was the last time we saw Pirates now selling players abroad, you know, where there was the hunger, the passion now for players to expose themselves, mm-hmm. you know, to playing abroad and all of that. Mainly it's because of the opportunities. When you sign for these teams now, you're not only thinking about the Betway Premiership or Africa, but now you are exposed to a broader, larger vision, because the world is smaller when it comes to the league. But when it comes to the vision of the club and as an individual, it supports you as an individual to say, if I play that friendly, I'm going to play Al Ittihad. I'm going to be playing Las Palmas. I'm going to be playing all these top friendlies. There's an opportunity for me. So I think that's where we are as a country. It doesn't matter the preseason, whether, you know, different climates, acclimatization and all of that.
And also it can be effective to know we don't have enough funds, because we don't have to go to Spain if you don't have. You can go to South America.
Yeah.
You can go to Morocco. There's so many
places. Seco, you can do what you...
The club that you played for.
You know what? I was about to say this. The only people that are allowed to be taking those trips overseas, but the top three. And why so?
Because TS Galaxy went to Serbia.
At the expense of rumors, players having it that they paid, you know, a certain fee.
A certain
portion for them to go there. Bro, there's no need for a TS Galaxy to go abroad for preseason. When you're not playing inter-club football, bro.
Stay in your lane.
Like, stay in the country. Go to KZN. There's five teams in KZN or six. Then you play friendlies there.
So Stellenbosch did now.
Yes, bro. When it comes to teams going abroad, Chiefs, Pirates, Sundowns. Why so? Because these guys are going to be playing inter-club football. Mm-hmm. And these guys have the resources. So don't break the bank when you know you're not going to be traveling the country. You're going to be local. So that's what I'm saying.
However,
the playing field. Let me tell you, in the next 10 years, the league and trophies, you will find a Magesi winning, you'll find a Stelis winning. But for as long as the so-called small teams are still selling their best players.
Yeah.
They will keep fighting relegation. They will keep fighting to be in the top eight.
But this is a world standard. Yeah. In France, do you find the Strasbourg winning the league?
Yeah.
In Spain, in England, in...
Definitely, you wouldn't see them competing at that level because they know where they are. That's what I'm saying. When it comes to the beginning of the league, when teams start having their goals, you can't say you are...
But what about building relations? Because I think... It also helped your Apelele Tetos when TS Galaxy went abroad. It helped a couple of players getting that exposure because
Kabini
as well. Yeah. Maybe half I'm pushing it, but a number of players there were spoken of after that preseason camp. And also, I think for the vision,
you can't take players there. Pay the players. My thing is, Let the players be happy. Because now you're taking the players there because now you want to copy what Pirates, Sundowns and Chiefs are playing. And you don't have the resources. Now players are... Which teams players were always complaining they haven't got paid? Late salaries. It's always the bottom teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So until, bro, the playing field is equal. And the most exciting leagues in the world are leagues that have top coaches. Imagine a Betway Premiership that has a Rulani, it has a Steve Compeon, it has a Manuva Mneti. You name all the coaches in the league. Definitely, bro, that league could be hot.
Yeah.
You won't only watch when Pirates, Sundowns and Chiefs are playing, but you'll watch when every other team is playing. You look at the EPL, you'll find a Unai Emery at Aston Villa. At some point, you had Carlo Ancelotti at Everton.
Yeah.
So those guys understand that to bring in eyes into the league, it starts at the top. The coaches.
Yeah.
Bring those respectable coaches, coaches that, you know, demand from their players. Because at the end of the day, not every coach would tell you that your body positioning is wrong, how you receive the ball.
But figure the very same coach also, when the come pre-season, he wants to go and compete in those levels. The very same top coach. Ancelotti wants to go in Spain and compete against those people because he's preparing his team for the league. So that's what I'm saying. It comes back to, if you are a team that your ambitions are this small, it's fine. Go to Mdlangan Dlovu and train there. That is fine. But you're robbing your players an opportunity to grow. Mm. I'm saying you don't have to. A Super Sport. I was playing for Super Sport. We went to Australia. We, my friend, we were at the, you know, Australia, there's always like a taxi type of vibe where all the sporting codes that they're swimming and all the type. We stayed there. We played friendlies there. I'm saying you don't have to go to Spain. You don't have to go somewhere where you can be in a very small and yana thing and be able to prepare very well. Because at the end of the day, the very same thing that's going to make you money, it's this one that you're preparing for.
Yeah.
And for this one to prepare for, once you start playing a productive football, a type of football that fans want to see, the very same fans of yours, they won't have a problem to go and buy your jersey. Mm. It's expensive, that thing. After buying that jersey, you must understand I must come to the stadium. How much am I spending just to come to one game? So you understand that by these people that have invested in you, not just financially, but emotionally as well.
Yeah.
I'm a friend, prepare for them. Because now,
but also sell the experience.
Yeah,
because that's what they buy into. Yeah, sell the experience.
Because like, my point is like, all right, now we have our bosses, which are our fans, that are making, that are helping us to keep things afloat, right? We can't expect them to come to the stadium and fill the stadium when you're playing against the top three fans. We want them to actually help us win. That's why the tuck shop, they're also selling beer, but they're nice when they sell champagne because, Figo is here.
Yeah.
But the beers are the ones that actually help the lights to stay on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those people in the economy that we're in, my friend, they're going to invest still on you. They're going to take that last money, that one that they want, they can actually go somewhere. They come into the stadium. You know the struggles of going to the stadium. Mm. Don't rob them. Do the right thing. Come pre-season. Prepare well. We're not saying they don't go to Devon, don't go there, but prepare so well that they have that pride coming to the stadium to watch their team play because they believe what that team prepare well. I don't know, Chalo, what happened. When Pirates goes to Spain, do you understand what Pirates fans are thinking to their mind? Our team is preparing very well, playing this top team. Mentally already, fans, first game. No, it's because they want to see what our team was doing there. Because it's that.
Yeah.
So that the fans can understand, can choose. It's like, this is an emotional thing that I'm going to invest any of my money in. Dude, we've got too many issues. We're afraid to invest in football as a fan. But we do that because we have fans that are very loyal. That's why they only come to big games because they know that in big games, you're going to step up as Marumo Kalans. You're going to step up as well against a big team. But other than that, you don't. And it comes back to that preparing. But if you prepare very well, dude, I'm going to buy a jersey for my son, for my girlfriend, and the girlfriend of the girlfriend, and this and this. For a moment, we come to this theater, we all look now.
Make it appealing.
Yeah. You understand what I mean? So I'm investing in this and the same money as well. But if now we're starting having eyeballs on there as a sponsor, because you must understand one thing. Guys now that are in positions of sponsorships incorporated right now, they're young boys. They're young, 32. Young boys are into things. So now they need to find something interesting about the club for them to come in and invest.
Yeah. Mm.
But there's nothing interesting that you're doing.
What makes
doing
you unique?
Thing. What makes you unique? You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We're Lapane, but in the place at Polokwane.
The ranch,
you train there, you're playing two teams, Polokwane City and what, and then it's finished, you come back, and then you think you're going to be in top eight. You won't. That's why I come January signing 8 players from loan. Because you prepared. In fact, we went at Sundance, we once went to Swaziland. The worst thing that has ever happened, that's it. We went to Swaziland. When this was then, we played to what, we came back, we struggled the whole season. Guess what the conversation was come end of the season? Guys, what went wrong? Why couldn't we win the league? We all went back. Like, guys, we didn't prepare well.
The mental block of the preseason.
We had so many injuries. We didn't prepare well, my friend. We must go somewhere and suffer. When you come back here, you're a beast. That's why when it comes to the World Cup, that's why when it comes to bigger stages, you always have to go to a camp a little bit, to suffer a little bit, you come out a different person. But if you're going to do it in the same environment that you're actually staying in, that's not preparing.
But I think both of it comes to what both of you guys were saying, in that, yes, you can expose to something greater, you can be exposed to a new environment, to a new level, but the planning must be done well in advance.
Yeah.
Orlando Pirates didn't decide they were going to Spain last month. Sundown didn't decide we're going to Austria 2 months ago.
Yeah.
No, it was well prepared, well planned in time. Everyone was organized. Everyone was, it met the budget level that they can access.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the same can be said to any club within plan, check your budget, but in advance. So that when it comes, it's not a surprise that bill comes and I have to find money somewhere.
No, you can go to Zambia.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go to Zambia.
How many teams are playing in African football? There's a lot of teams. You can go. I'm not saying that's what I'm. You don't have to go.
Yeah, no, not to, we used to. We yeah, once went go, to Zambia.
Yeah.
You struggle there.
They run there
in Zambia. There. When you come back, when you face a team that runs, you're like, nah, this is peanut butter jam. Because you prepared very well. So I'm just saying, just get different environment. Because that also it helps what, like within the new team, new players as well, to be able to acclimatize a little bit quicker within the team itself. Instead of me, I'm a new player, I'm coming to your team, I'm going to training preseason, I'm going back home. There's no time for me to acclimatize very quicker. But if we're there, again, to learn your habits, because we're far away from each other, our families and friends, I get to learn your habits, I get to understand, I get to have a conversation with you from a football perspective. Because there's nothing else I can talk about. I'm not going to tell you, shirt is not. No, there's no shirt. There's strip. They were wearing track suits. So I'm going to have a conversation that really matters. That's going to help the team to be able to grow. But if we're doing the same things, yeah, that's why there's that gap in feet. And that's what my problem is. That's why there's that gap. There's teams that are fighting for something. I'm not saying it's no. Ah, come on. Dude, come on.
Donna.
You and money, this thing.
Now, speaking of money, we do sponsors. No.
Who's
paid us? Whoever did whatever to take over, we apologize.
Yo. No, I love it.
I love it. But listen.
Give us some more. Give us some more. Nobody. I want to see this. I love it.
Is this great? See.
Now, let's not forget that we do have our mystery guest here. And he is proudly brought to you by Courier. South Africans are choosing a better way to move their parcels. And don't forget, when you sign up at gocourier.co.za /TCW, receive a 50 rand credit towards your first delivery. And every parcel you send gives you another chance to win a 5,000 rand buy a gift experience voucher, one of two Bafana Bafana jerseys. Mm. Now, speaking of, we were speaking about corporates coming on.
Why do you have to say Bafana Bafana jersey? You know that I owe this man his jersey.
Courier is giving away a Bafana Bafana jersey.
Courier, can I get a jersey for Teko?
For Teko.
A green one, please.
Now, listen, we were speaking about corporates coming on board. We obviously have a corporate who has come on board, not only sponsor the car wash, but they are taking care of youth football in the country. And I don't know if you remember in episode 8, we said that the car wash would be making an appearance at the engine knockout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we did. Funny enough, Teko was there. Brighton was
funny
there.
Funny enough,
Coach, he was there as well.
Darian was there. I know you had your own things going on.
Unfortunately.
But we were there. And what a tournament we witnessed. I mean, Coach, you were there on the Sunday with the final. Donna, you came on Saturday. Brighton, you've been there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And what we've seen is a continuation from in Durban. In Durban, you see Toti Ladies and AmaZulu win in the AmaZulu in the boys, Toti Ladies. Obviously, winning in Cape Town hasn't been decided yet, but we have Ubuntu and Antalya Sport,
JPN.
That is in the final that is going to be played.
Yeah.
And then here you have the Kaizer Chiefs boys and the Mamelodi Sundowns ladies that win it. Just, I want to ask you, and I'll start with you, Coach, what did we make of what we saw at the Engine tournament? It was packed. We saw yourself there. Like I'm saying, all of us were there. Coach Raymond Mdaka was there. Yardan Valodia, who just signed for Yanga, was there. We had so many top names come out. What did we see at the Engine this weekend, Coach?
Yeah, Engine tournament is a tournament that's close to my heart because it's one of the first tournaments that I coached with my junior teams. So
AmaZulu.
Yes. Okay. Well, no, before that I was with an academy by the name of ETS, Education Through Soccer. Okay. So it was a tournament that we qualified into. I had the coach Tsovi Lakazi with me. He was my coach with me, and we did well in that tournament, and that's actually how I got my job at AmaZulu, because from that tournament we did well, and I moved to AmaZulu from there. It's a tournament that exposes, like you said, the academy teams and the professional teams with teams that can come there to compete, to show off their skills. To
Toros came and showed it. They were in the final.
In the final, yes.
And Donna, we were watching that Chiefs game. Yeah. They obviously went on to win it, and there were a few players there that impressed you.
Unfortunately for me, I think that's the first thing that I had a conversation with you guys when we were chilling by the tent. I said, I only wish that we had like better surface so that we can allow these footballers to actually express themselves a little bit better. But those who are good can actually play regardless of how they appeal to us. And when I was watching that Kaizer Chiefs game, this is number two, man. Is it number two?
The center back.
God. So he's physically built like Mbogazi, so comfortable on the ball. And for me, because if I'm a coach, I want to build from the back. You know what I mean? He was so calm. He's very clever. And those are the type of players that you can actually like say, you can play as a center back, but once in position of the ball, can actually come into the midfield and add on to that, because he's that comfortable. But also like maybe just to give kudos as well to DVD and
Coach Sidiso Litsolonyane.
The great work that they do. So I was very impressed, because that's the only game that I watched. I was very impressed. And
And yeah, I mean, I'm kind of jealous a little bit because we, some of us never got an opportunity to be exposed to those type of football. But to see all these youngsters being able to expose at a young age at competitive football where winning also becomes a culture, it's so dope, so that we not get surprised when you see them at DDC. You don't get surprised when you get them to the PSL. I just hope that with the opportunity that was given to them by Engine, you know, we can continue unearthing new talent. Because I was also happy to see Raymond Douglas. I haven't seen him in a while. And telling him also...
We actually have a clip of that way.
I'm crying.
It's like we were dreaming. I know we dreamed.
It was a vision.
Oh, then nobody says him, but I know he was
just wipe your phone.
Just to add on that, like, it's been a while since I've been out of youth football in South Africa, and especially with traveling, being in Tanzania, being in Morocco, and coming back now to see the evolution that's happened, especially tactically in South African football. I was impressed, especially now we speak about the Chiefs and how they got to the final, but just to see them sliding formations, attacking formations, defensive formations, and it's something that obviously when I was in youth football before, it was unheard of. It was in those times, it was individual development. Improved the young boy so that this individual can make it. But now you see a little bit what South Africa needs is that young, talented players getting educated tactically.
Educational side of it.
So that by the time they reach that first team, by the time they come, it's not the first time I'm seeing a video analysis. It's not the first time a coach is telling me I have to build up in one way and defend in another way. But
the terminology as well.
Yeah, the terminology as well. You know what was just cool?
Sorry, Brandon, just to break your word. You know what I really enjoyed? I watched the clips of Mbogazi getting into his car, going to go and watch the Durban version. And then you come to Joburg, you see someone like Mohau Nkota, and think about it. What does that do for the boys when you see that this person played in this tournament not so long ago, and here he is an established Bafana player? Just what does it do to psyche when you see your peers and you can touch them?
It's massive. It's massive because not only are they coming back to show appreciation of, you know, a platform that given them the opportunity to showcase their talent, but also the engagement, the interaction. You know, it also serves as, it gives that human element, you know, like you're sitting there and saying, this is the guy who's within reach, but now he's just within touching distance where I can have conversations apart from having pictures with him. That gives you a sense of belief to say, a couple of years back, we're not talking, you know, I'd understand because time and again at Engine would always reference to your Ronan Williams, like, you know, the older alumni and far off. But right now you're talking about the stars of the yesterday, just like now, you know, recent alumni is like Mohau Nkota, as you speak of. And when you look at that holistically from the tournament perspective, it's been happening for over two decades now. It's the 24th edition now. And coach is speaking about the evolution tactically. I mean, Teko sat there for, I think we said over 3 hours, you know, and he kept on saying, I like this, I like that, I like all these players. Overall, you see it as, you know, a good stepping stone to competitive football. Hence, when you spoke about now DDC also serving as a platform that's giving South African footballers the opportunity to compete at the highest level. I think also it starts with the Engine, because that's the tournament where also we look at the livelihoods of the players, the stages and the phases where they are in terms of their age. This is a critical phase where you need to develop. You're under 18. And I think credit also must go to, you know, the women football, the people who are always in charge within the women football, it has improved tremendously.
We saw two former footballers in the final. Roda Mulawuzi.
Roda Mulawuzi and Queen Goals. Andisiwe Mtoyi as well at UJ, you know. But not only that, we also had former Banyana, Kabozita coming forth and winning the fair play with Mamelodi 11, you know. So that alone, you're seeing now from the educational perspective as well, you're seeing a lot of coaches who are former players now. It's very impressive. You know, Wayne Arendt is also a coach there. Yeah. Virgil Fries is also a goalkeeper coach. Colin Simbesuma, you know, so that alone, Voji with Siwelele. So a lot of coaches are coming in. Thabo Ntete is also, the list goes on and on. So now there's that pipeline. We spoke about trusting the process, right? So now there's a pipeline where from development perspective, now there's people who are working tirelessly to make sure that there's a clear view, there's the synergies between from development to the first team, whereby there's also proper coaching, proper educational element that's going to prepare the players. But not only that, administration-wise, I think we saw one lady who was, she was an assistant referee, Kochi. She was an assistant referee for the past 4 years at Engine. She came back now as the TS Galaxy head coach for the ladies, which is quite impressive. Yeah, she was the head coach there. And it brings me back to, I don't know if you guys know Goblang Daunyane.
Yeah, from KZ he was a referee. He was a referee to the under 20 AFCON.
Yeah, and then he went on to win Defender of the Tournament at Engine and went to AFCON under 20 and won COSAFA as well. So these are the stories that we want to see, whereby not only are we giving them the tools just to say, you look at what's happening within the four corners of the beach, but also outside of football. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to talk about breeding a generation of good footballers alone, but also good human beings and future leaders of the country. And that's what we are seeing when it comes to the tournament. So overall, for me, from the fans, from the parents, from the clubs, and the ladies football, I still say women football in South Africa, guys, it's going places.
And shout out to the parents, man. So you don't like supporting the kids. Yeah. Shout out, man.
You spoke about this. Remember the last time Figo and Dono were talking about, you know, our parents, sometimes they didn't know that we were as good. Yeah, sometimes some of the parents, when you're on TV or sometimes...
Oh, God, this one looks like my kid.
But we're also seeing that element being played out evenly when we talk about gender equality as well, where a tournament that will just going to give equal opportunities for both girls and
equal
boys.
Prize money, equal prize money, even though that's not the end goal.
Yeah, and individual personal accolades as well. I saw a fantastic goalkeeper from Sundowns, because time and again it has always been Casey Gordon. You know, with women football, if there's one player, we stick around that player and say, sure. But now Sundowns gave us a Malebana, who she's a captain at Abantwana, and Sundowns, she wears number 10, scored bangers of a goals by Coutinho in goals. I think she's going places. Not Coutinho, the midfielder, but Coutinho in goals. Mamelodi Sundowns ladies. Solid. But overall, I think it was a fantastic tournament. I'm looking forward to see what happens in KZN.
Tell me, bro, let's just say to Engine, you guys did a great job by partnering with Brighton Mhlo.
He is a great
ambassador for the brand. Bro, I swear, of all the 9 episodes we've done, like, I'm seeing him come to life.
Man, you're coming in.
It's from the heart. He's also invested. Great alignment for Engine and yourself. Then how you represent, you know, grassroots and the brand as well. Because this segment alone was just enough. You can also add me and say, what's your take? Because what you've said, he's covered everything.
Figo, I can add one more thing. We see it on the camera. In the final of the tournament, there was a goal that was conceded that was a little bit unfortunate from the goalkeeper. After the match, I just had a little eye on the field to see what would happen now afterwards. Players, coaches, but who did I see with the goalkeeper?
His name is Steve Mapila. Funny enough, in the semi-final, takes his team to the final. He scores the winning penalty and he makes a save. And then shout out to you, because after the defeat, you then go and see a Brighton hold his hand around the goalkeeper.
And that's why, like I was saying to Brighton, when they said, a lot of the fact that there's so many former footballers that are, you know, doing this great job, and we normally don't hear of them. You only saw, because I was surprised, because normally I don't get an opportunity to attend such. So I was very, very happy to see that. That also, man, the quality of football that was played. I just hope, guys, that we can... to improve this thing, let's get them to a nice and nasa face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let them
play. Champ of Champs is coming. You know? We are going to Amatax.
To the Champ coaches, of Champs. To you guys coming through to actually, you know, coming back and to actually see where football, the grassroots level is. It's kind of encouraging to all these younger ones. Even though, like, I know I'm an old dopey, but when I got there, I could see, like, the excitement from especially the young girls and all that type of stuff. So for us to actually, I'm encouraging other guys to come in and actually just come and support and witness this talent, so that we can't have a rally that we don't know, now we only see him on the PSL. Let's come and look out and really encourage these boys, because sometimes if we're so far from them, we're unreachable with us, and we can actually humanize this thing and get in touch with these players.
There's two massive shout outs that I want to send, and I can't believe we've come to the end of the show. Before I say thank you to you, Coach, let me just send a shout out to two people. One is Football Stage. We don't know his name, but we call him Football Stage. That guy does such crucial work for youth football. And if you hear the backstory about it, and I don't want to get him into trouble,
the mask guy.
You know you. Yeah. No, I want to give a shout out to that guy, because he documents so much of the youth football.
Yeah.
So the picture from Relay in the Engine tournament was taken by him, and that was a few years ago. And now, obviously, we see the end product, but we don't see where it starts. And someone like that takes money out of his own pocket,
who makes sure that he travels. He was at the Durban edition, and then he was here. He was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Mark's Park.
You said he's got other things that he's doing, so don't expose.
Yes, no, what I'm saying is that shout out to you, football stage, with your mask, with your sunglasses and everything.
I know the second one you're going to call.
No, you don't know. You don't
Can I take a guess?
Take a guess.
Kataza. Cellular.
Okay, yes. Kataza Cellular, shout out to you. Yeah. Cellular, Robbie, Marke, doing a fantastic job. But the last one I actually wanted to send was to Cheslin Dotley. So she's the mother of Rushon and Emil Dotley. So Rushon plays in the Chiefs first team, obviously. He has a younger brother who plays next to the number two. Emil's. He's so nice with it. But she came all the way from Cape Town, and we speak about parents supporting her and her husband, Roger. Came all the way from Cape Town, supported the boys in every game. And then she was like so lively. And just to see that type of passion from a parent. So shout out to you. And also shout out to you, coach, for coming through. Thank you so much. Guys. This actually happened at Engine where you were coached to come onto the show. So thank you. Thank you to Kuriate for being our sponsors. Thank you so much for Engine for what they do for youth football. Thank you to you, the regular Car Wash panel.
Yeah.
This has been a dope episode. And we'll see you on episode 10 from us here at the Car Wash. Away.